Hello and welcome to the Anna Asks podcast. I'm coming to you with my 3-month wrap. Baby girl turned 3 months just in the last few days, and I haven't come in here with an update for about 3 weeks, so I'm going to give you a wrap of that time. And this is a period that marks the end of the official fourth trimester, but obviously it doesn't end here. Postpartum doesn't end here. I think there is a time where it's useful to start thinking beyond that trope of postpartum is forever, but that's something that I've written up in another piece, so I'll pop that link into the show notes when it is time to share this episode. Before I get stuck in, I want to acknowledge that I am here on a Awabakal country and recognise the Awabakal people as traditional custodians of the land on which I live and raise my babies and record this and work, and pay deep respects to their peoples and their ongoing connection to land, waters and sky in this beautiful area of the world. To talk about what's happened in the last 3 weeks, I actually had to go and look back at my calendar because I have zero concept of time at the moment. It's one of those periods of life where it feels like a lot has happened, but also nothing is happening at the same time. The time period since the last recording sort of started off with me feeling like I could perhaps get out and do a bit, you know, venture a little bit further. So we did one trip to East Maitland, which is probably about half an hour from where I am, so not huge, maybe 35 minutes where we were going to. And it started off, we arrived and hadn't been there too long when we were at a library exhibition. They had a butterflies and insects and caterpillars kind of thing happening for the school holidays. And we arrived there and it didn't take very long for the baby to have a huge nappy explosion all over my husband, to the point that he was completely covered, shorts and shirt, and had to go into the shops next door to get new clothes. Oh, she's just waking up. I'll come back in a second. Yeah, so he actually had to duck next door to Kmart to go and buy some clothes that were not covered in poo. That was quite entertaining. So it gave me a nice bit of time to just enjoy the library with my big girl. It's a really nice setup there. They've got library, cafe, a little bit of fresh local produce at the cafe as well, playground, and a nice treed kind of parkland area, and good car park right there. So if you're looking for a little adventure, East Maitland Library is a nice one. He came back, we were outside, we'd been playing at the playground and we sort of set up under a tree, and he went up to the cafe to get a coffee for himself, and I just started feeding the baby. Now, my oversupply is going really well. I've pretty much got that sorted now, but I do have to lie completely flat to feed. So I was lying down to feed. Big girl's with me. She hates wearing shoes, so she's taken her shoes off. And then she said, I want to go with my dad. I said, I can't see you all the way from here to there, so he'll be back in a minute. Just wait. Let's, I don't know, play I Spy or something until he comes back. She was adamant. She needed to go to him now. So I did stand up so that I could see her running from where I was to the cafe. Baby doesn't know how to feed in any position except lying down. So she pulled off and she's screaming. Big girl gets maybe 15 metres. It was probably, 75 metres or so up to the cafe. And she gets maybe 15 metres up the way and then steps in this huge patch of bindies. So both of the kids are screaming. I have to go and pick her up, carry her back to the picnic blanket, try and get all these bindies out of her feet. It just went from 0 to 100 in, 2 minutes. And I had I just kind of gritted my teeth and got through and was just like, yeah, you know, it really does hurt. And oh, I'm sorry, we have to wait for milk. It's so hard, isn't it? To the girls. And then when he got back and I didn't have to hold it together anymore, I pretty much just broke down crying. I was like, I can't handle the two of them by myself for 2 minutes without you. How am I going to do this when you're back at work? And I think that's been a big theme of the last few weeks for us, is that he's, yeah, preparing for that. And potentially in other areas, like other industries as well, even work that might involve traveling and being away for periods of time, which he's never done for more than, or not for work purposes anyway, since we've had children. And yeah, I'm just trying not to project too far out. We're having conversations around, he really thinks I should have the third day of preschool for our big girl so that I can stay sane. And yet she's also been her usual stage 10 clinger self. That means you're walking and in the house, and if you stop too suddenly, she runs into you. Or if you take a little step back, you step on her feet, because she's right there in my shadow the whole time. And I'm thinking, well, is more preschool going to be a good solution? Or she's clearly looking for connection from me. So would putting her in care an extra day actually be more disconnection and make her more dysregulated and harder to be with the rest of the time? So we don't have a solution on that yet. But yeah, if you are struggling to take two kids out or even be at home with two kids or more, I really am starting to understand more and more where you're at. I really don't have confidence to take them anywhere myself that's not fenced, and preferably meeting someone else there. So that's kind of the things that I'm practicing at the moment, taking them out where there are people at the other end and where the areas are secure. I thought that I was going to have a double pram to use. Our pram is designed to have two seats sort of stacked on top of each other, but diagonally, if that makes sense. I got the second seat out of the garage the other day and it's all full of mold, because our area had that great like East Coast mold issue lately and or last year, and yeah. So I had to chuck it in the bin. So my plan of getting them both to and from places, like between the car and wherever we were going to safely, has kind of gone out the window, or at least on hold until I can find another seat or a skateboard attachment or just something. I don't know. We did have more success though. We did a trip down to Sydney for a day, friend's 40th. It was a really, really good afternoon. That's about an hour and a half drive between our place and the venue, and big girl stayed with her grandparents for the day, not for a sleepover but for the day, and we took the baby with us and managed to time it quite well. I had a really good time and I thought, yeah, this is something we can absolutely do again. And then I was completely flattened for the next 2 days after that. And nothing to do with a hangover, nothing to do with a late night, because I don't drink and we were home by 9:30 or something. But yeah, I was just exhausted. I really wasn't interested in going anywhere else, and it kind of showed me just how much I don't have the reserve capacity that I think that I do sometimes. I have also had a check-in appointment with my counsellor, and yeah, I don't want it to be as big a gap this time as it was for the last one. There's a bit happening that I want to be checking in with and talking through, because, yeah, I am realising that while I am well, it is just a on the precipice kind of thing. It doesn't take too much to tip over the edge real, I think, anger and indecisiveness are the things that show me when I'm not doing well. If it takes me a long time to make a decision, that's not usual for me. I can usually synthesize two or more options quite quickly and feel into what I want and do that straight away. And it took me like 2 days to figure out if I was going to pay for or sign up monthly or annually for a Zoom subscription. And the same, like if I was going to buy these vitamins that I wanted to buy off the internet or from the local store. Like it took me so long to do these kinds of things. We had our first ballet class for my daughter this week, which I cannot believe that my child wants to do ballet. Blows my mind. Yes. So even researching that, coming up with what I like, organizing the trial, figuring out the clothes and that kind of thing, things are just taking me. I wasn't too bad on the ballet bit, but in general, it's just taking me a little bit longer to mentally work through things, which is fair enough. I have a new baby. My brain rewiring will take years. According to the research, the brain remodeling that happens in pregnancy continues until after 2 years beyond the birth. So yeah, it's going to be a while yet. I have another check-in with my pelvic floor physio this week. I think I'm going to put my name on a cancellation list for my osteo again. I've managed to pull a muscle in my chest. So it's either a pec muscle or a rib muscle on my left side. And it's making lifting and carrying themselves aren't too bad, but trying to stabilize while I then do things with my right hand is quite difficult. I still have this mother's thumb issue on my right hand as well. So the thumb joint, it's just a hormonal thing, but the thumb joint is a bit inflamed and weaker. So like the worst thing that I could do between the thumb on the right hand side and the left chest pulled muscle would be like to try and open a really tight jar lid. It would just be carnage and painful. So yeah, that's all fun and games. I thought that I was going to be trying to get into a bit more exercise and stuff, but clearly my body has other ideas about that, and we'll probably be just continuing walking for a while. I don't even know if I'll be able to push the pram, really. I hadn't thought about that for long distances or hills or that kind of thing with the left chest issue for a few days. That's a shame. Huh. I did manage to do one bike ride by myself a couple of weeks ago, which I've been craving going bike riding since I got pregnant. I know some people are very confident and keen to ride bikes while during their pregnancy, and I'm generally like one of those people who's pretty confident on a bike, but I hadn't done it for my whole pregnancy basically, so I was really, really happy to do that. I got about 45 minutes or an hour or so by myself on a bike track near here, and it was really wonderful. I'm going to check my calendar and see if there's anything else that's really happened. What I have been doing is starting to record some more interviews for this podcast. I've done the first one. I have realized that my brain is not quite up to following a train of thought to how I want to kind of segue conversations or make comments on what the speaker was just talking about. I found it quite difficult recording the first interview this week, partly because there were major tech problems and we were on a time limit and it was hard, and partly because I just wasn't able to follow a train of thought. So that did make it quite challenging. I have confirmed a venue for some women's circles or mother's circles specifically that I'm going to run once a month at Warners Bay starting from the end of March. So that's really exciting. And obviously that was a bit of like technical behind the scenes stuff too, I kind of need to strike while the iron's hot. If I've got logical procedural tasks that need doing and I have time and the concentration and energy levels to do it, I kind of need to do it all in the one hit. So I kind of made the ticket page and did all the email correspondence and yeah, did everything to do with that in the one go. So I'll pop a link to those circles as well, and arrange some dates for workshops too, which is exciting. Oh, yes, that's right. The major thing that happened was we were at my parents' house for a swim. My daughter had gotten out of the pool. I wrapped her in a towel and I thought I was holding the baby and I hadn't got her quite in the center of the towel. So she was sort of, there was a third of the towel over her left shoulder and two thirds over the right shoulder, something like that. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's not very good. Oh, well, she'll be fine. And she started running and she tripped on concrete and she completely busted her chin open. There was blood everywhere. There was like fatty tissue, kind of like chunks of it, basically like sticking out everywhere. The thud, you know that terrible time between the thud and when they start to cry? Because her hands were trapped inside the towel, she had nothing to break her fall at all. And that silence and seeing it and being too far away, and it was horrific. I thought that she'd smashed all her teeth in, broken her nose. Like, it was horrible. And pretty much as soon as she hit, I put the baby down on the grass and ran over to her on the concrete and scooped her up and picked her up. And she was obviously in so much pain. She'd grazed her knees as well. The shock would have been worse, but a lot of pain. And yeah, just held her. She cried and cried, obviously, and just let her cry and tried to stop the bleeding, or at least slow the bleeding and help her, you know, process that we were going to go to the hospital and just calmly be with her while everybody packed up our stuff. And she'd been looking forward to having dinner there with her grandparents, and she wanted to watch a DVD, and there was going to be no DVD player at the hospital and all of these things, and figuring out which ED room we were going to go to. It's not perfect, but if you Google some key terms like New South Wales Health emergency wait times or something like that, it comes up with this tool that you can put in your location and it shows you how many people are already waiting at the emergency department at the different hospitals that are near you. And so that helped us choose where we were going to. It's not perfect, obviously, because it doesn't account for how many people are waiting in ambulances, how complex the cases are and all that kind of thing. But it gave us a bit of a clue on where to go. So the wonderful team at Belmont helped sort us out. But yeah, that was pretty major. Like, supporting her through that felt really big. And when we were driving home late at night and both girls were asleep and I was kind of sitting in the middle seat of the back, which with two car seats is pretty squeezy, and I was kind of on an angle a bit. And when they both fell asleep, that's when I started shaking and kind of started showing those shock symptoms myself. And yeah, just needed to cry. And every time I closed my eyes, I just saw and heard it happening over and over. And so I started putting into place some kind of strategies that I've learned can be useful immediately after a trauma, including a birth trauma, to try and make those memories not get set in stone in my brain in like an abnormal or like acute PTSD kind of way. So when we got home, I got the baby sorted and left her with her dad, and big girl had transferred in from the car asleep, and I just went in and cuddled her and cried and cried and said all the things about how I was so scared and that I wish I could have got there to help her, and that I was sorry about not doing her towel properly and all of those sorts of things, and just cuddled her and cried and let my emotions release I did some kind of grounding activities as well, of feeling everything around me and what I could see and what I could smell. When I did go to bed, I did some more kind of closing my eyes and seeing that image come, but while focusing on my breathing, I tried to do, it's basically anything that you can do to tell your body that the trauma is over. So like slow walking instead of running, making sure that you actually eat. So I sat down and had a warm meal and ate it slowly. A calm cup of tea in the morning. We sat up, my husband and I, and laughed about some things. And yeah, just things to try and work through that acute bit. And then it was supporting her over the following 5 days or so. So they glued it and steri-stripped it. And they said the longer that you can keep her out of the water, the better. Try and wait 5 days before you swim. So we did that, and that was quite challenging because it's all been very hot weather. And yeah, I think that is sort of the main event of the time. She had a couple of days where she had a croupy cough as well, and I started panicking and projecting that to, well, of course that's viral, so of course the baby's going to get sick, so of course we're all going to get sick too, and we're going to be sitting up for 2 or 3 weeks holding this snotty coughing baby upright and blah 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 blah. For the first time ever, it turns out it really was only her that got this cough, and it was only for a few days and then it was gone again. So yeah, I don't know, this parenting thing is a wild ride, I'll tell you that. Can't really think of anything else that is really pressing to tell you. Sleep is okay. She's still waking up every 2 hours or so to feed. Pretty normal baby behavior. She's in bed with me, so we go straight back to sleep. Unless she poos, I don't have to change her. So it's really great if she holds off until, 6 o'clock in the morning and we can start the day then, instead of doing it at 4 o'clock and then having a batch of time awake in the night. But beggars can't be choosers, hey? I think I'm going to leave it there for now. If you want to check out anything I have coming up, have a look at the show notes. If you want to just drop me a line and tell me about how things are going for you, then you're welcome to do that too. I did also have a friend talking with me today about her first baby starting solids, and I spoke a bit with her about my experience of baby-led weaning, but there's really no, which is using family foods rather than purees and stuff, but the main part of our conversation was not that there's a right or a wrong way to introduce solids per se. But looking for the signs of readiness with your baby. So, little one here is only 3 months old. She's still got a while to go until I'll be looking at introducing solids, because, around the 6 month mark is the recommendation. But I will include a link to a blog from Boob to Food about the signs of readiness for making sure your baby's safe as can be to start solids. So that's all for now. Next episode that you hear from me will be an interview rather than a little monologue here. I think I'm going to keep coming back and doing these kind of solo episodes just on topics that interest me and interest my listeners, which is you. So if there's something you want me to just have a riff on, let me know. Oh, I can see a massive eagle soaring out my window. How incredible is that? See, easily distractible. All right, I'll catch you when I catch you. Bye. Also, just a final thing. You know how they say babies can roll accidentally when they're little? We've had a few rolls here. So, yeah, don't leave your baby on the change table without you, or the bed, or the couch, or anywhere, because she would have ended up on the ground. That's it. Bye.